Welcome to the Healing Home Podcast. I'm Priya.
And I'm Annie.
We're your hosts, guides, and friends on this beautiful journey. Healing Home is your compassionate space on the joyful and chaotic journey of parenthood. Our conversations are deep dives filled with love, vulnerability, and a heck of a lot of authenticity.
We show up and share so that you can do the same. Because at the end of the day, life can be really hard. But the reality is that we're not here to just exist. We're here to actually live and enjoy our lives. So buckle up and come along for a ride as we work through some of the most incredible things: family dynamics, postpartum, trauma, and much, much more.
Welcome home. Welcome to our next episode of the Healing Home Podcast. I'm Priya Rudnam Waldo.
And I'm Annie Phillips.
And we're thrilled to be joined today by our friend and a wonderful individual that fate brought us together with, Lauren Walsh, founder of LW Branding. And we're excited to talk all things parenthood and career with Lauren.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Yeah,
So we on this podcast, we are interviewing moms who are professionals, and the focus is, how do you do it? Like, how do you balance motherhood and a high achieving career? And so we're going to be asking you a lot of questions about that today. But first, can you just talk about what you do for a living and how you do it? And just, I know you work in many different areas and you have different facets of your career. If you can just give kind of an overview.
Of course. So I have spent the majority of my career working in marketing and branding, specifically within the space of sports and entertainment. I first got my start right after college working with student athletes. And then in 2015, I started my own sports marketing agency that then spun into 100 different things and, you know, went on to work with individuals who were not athletes all across the board. And after 7 years, you know, growing, building that, I then also took on my current role of executive vice president of branding and marketing for Quality Control Music and QC Sports, which is an internationally recognized record label and sports agency that represents some of the top hip hop music artists, as well as professional athletes. And in addition to that, I do a lot of advising as it relates to name, image, and likeness for college student athletes, and then lots of mentorship. And of course, most important and why we're here, also being a mom to two little kids.
Yes, Annie, you said it just right. So many facets to your career, and it's also interesting. I'm curious if you could share a little bit about how the passion for marketing and brand like was sparked in your life, and anything about how you just got started in that.
Yeah, of course. So I think for me, it goes back to even just being a little kid. I started doing competitive gymnastics at a very young age. Mm-hmm. I saw the power of hard work, had a lot of creativity through that. I remember being a little kid and just always being a big dreamer, and also recognizing through sports that by working really hard, you could achieve amazing things. And so I think it starts there, because that was a big part of my personal brand. And I think my own personal brand and my own personal story plays a huge role in just where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. The spark for deciding to turn it into a career really happened right after college when I was working with college student athletes. And I remember asking one of the student athletes I was working with what his plan was after college. And he said, oh, you know, well, I'm going to go play in the NFL. And I said, of course you are, but what mm-hmm. else are you going to do with your life? And mm-hmm. he was like, what do you mean? No one's ever asked me that before. And I said, look, that's amazing, but going and playing in the NFL is going to be one very small part of your life. And even if you play for 10 years, you're going to retire and be in your 30s. And what are you going to do next? And he said, no one's ever asked me that. And that's when I realized that there was an opportunity to help individuals understand what their personal brand is, mm-hmm. and then leverage that to go out and make an impact and also secure revenue generating deals and opportunities. And then throughout the years, honestly, just getting to know myself better and leaning into my own story and my own why and, you know, my reason for why I think I'm here. That then also just shed more light on the power of leveraging your brand to create different revenue generating opportunities and also to impact people really across the globe.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Is you're saying that you like you were already asking those questions like at a very young age to recognize like, oh no, you got to be playing the long game. Like this is one part of your career, but there's so much more that you can be doing and that you can prepare for that.
How did you intertwine that into motherhood? Because, you know, just like you told that college athlete, like, you know, the NFL might only be 10 years. And so a lot of moms feel very like they have children when they're just taking off in their careers.
Right.
And so how did that impact you in motherhood when now you have two little babies to take care of, but you still have to balance your career and, you know, think about the long game and where will I be in 10 years when my kids are 10 years old?
Of course. Yeah. Honestly, for me, everything changed after having kids. It was after having my daughter, who is now 6. It was actually after having her that I recognized how important it was that I understand who I am and that I know my own mission, my own values, the things that I want in life, because I realized that life was so much bigger now. It wasn't just about me. I also had this human being that not only I had to take care of, but I also had to be the example for. And I remember at the time when I first got pregnant, there were actually a lot of sports agents who told me that there was no way I was going to be able to do it. I remember so many of them saying, I hope you don't think you're actually going to continue to run your company at the same level that you are now and add a kid to the mix.
The audacity. I'm just thinking that's the word.
Oh my gosh, and multiple. And I remember I would look at them and say, I'm sorry, what? Like, do you know who I am? I was like, of course I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so it was good and bad, because it was good because it served as motivation, but it also was bad because part of the motivation for me was to prove these people wrong. And that should never be, you know, your motivation for doing something. But I used it really as fuel to then go off and say, you know, I'm going to figure out how to do this and balance it all. And it actually was then, fast forward, after she was born, she was a couple months old. I had lost myself a little bit in that process. Didn't really know who I was, didn't take the time to think, okay, who am I now? Now that I've added mom to my whole, you know, list of titles. And I was actually in a meeting with a couple of agents. I was pitching them on coming in and representing some of their clients. And I totally fumbled the entire meeting because at the time I was wearing different hats. So at home with my daughter, you know, I was mom and I was this way. Then I was this way with my friends. Then I was this way at work. And I didn't know how to kind of blend them all together. And they asked me a couple questions just about who I was, my family, my kids, where I lived, all these things. And I got so awkward because I honestly didn't want them to know. I was like, I don't want them to know who I am when I kind of take off like the executive hat and I'm not, you know, in these kinds of rooms. Mm-hmm. And it was after that that I realized I need to stop. Like, I need to figure out just who I am as a person and let that lead me into rooms. And to be honest, going on that journey actually helped me figure out what it is that I really want to do and then make that my career. Like, really turn that into what I get up every single day and decide to do. Because I think so often we add mom to our, you know, to our titles, mm-hmm. and we think that everything is the same. You are not the same person ever again. So you can't continue to try to walk into the office the same way. If you want to keep doing that kind of work, great, if you love it. But you have to also honor the fact that you now have different priorities. You have different missions. You have different values in life. Everything changes. So for me, it honestly became my superpower to lean in to the fact that I was more empathetic than my male counterparts working in the sports industry. I was able to come in and have a different opinion or a different way of looking at things because I was a mom, and really start to use that in the way that I actually did my work.
Yeah, it's so interesting. We often will see our that role of mom is, and society, I suppose, paints it this way often of like, as that's a vulnerability or that's something like you don't want to expose because it might be seen as a weakness. But I love that you got to a place of reframing of that. I was like, no, actually, that's my special it factor that is not present in your industry and actually can make you stand out and be even better at the work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so easy that people act like it's a burden. Like you said, I think that's what happens. I think people say like, oh, well, now they have kids at home. Oh, now they have this, they have these other priorities. And it's like, I become the absolute best version of myself after becoming a mom. And so to me, I only add more value to my employer, to my clients, to all the different people that I do business with, because I also have that facet of what I do day to day.
So Lauren, you mentioned that after you had your daughter, you went on a journey of figuring out who you were. And so I was just wondering if you could tell all the moms that are listening out there, like, what was that journey like? And what are some of the things that you learned on that journey that you could provide wisdom to other working moms out there?
Yeah, of course. So I realized during that process, I didn't really know who I was as a person, especially adding mom into the mix of everything. And so it took me actually a couple of months where every single day I would get up and I would ask myself, what's your passion? What is your mission? Why are you here? I took a lot of time to really figure out what my values were, and then a lot of time to also release and kind of come to terms with all the different versions of myself that I had to do away with, that were no longer serving me. And so kind of healing all of those different past versions of me, and then leaning into exactly what my why was. So basically every day, what I would do was I had kind of this series of questions. So it would be, what is your why? You know, and your why is really what gets you out of bed in the morning. It's what keeps you going. It's when you're in the trenches and you're tired, but you know, you're like, I'm here for something greater than me. That's your why. So every day I'd ask myself, what is your why? What is your mission in life? What are your values? And I would go through these every single day. It probably was about 4 months. So every morning, this is what I would work on and really starting to ask myself, who am I? Who am I now that I am mom and CEO and business owner and all these different things? Mm-hmm. And how can I merge all the different things that I'm passionate about and allow that to be what shows up in the world? Now, I'll tell you, even though it sounds amazing and magical and what came out on the other side was wonderful in this new version of myself, it was really hard because there were a lot of things, people, places, mm-hmm. opportunities that I had from before that could not carry with me into the next realm. And so mm-hmm. having to do away with people and relationships and all these different things that were no longer serving me, that was also part of the process. I think a lot of times when we think of growth, we think about the shiny things that we step into and we don't focus as much on what we have to leave behind. But there were a lot of things that I had to come to terms with and leave behind in order to walk into that new phase. And a lot of it too were friends and different people that I'd known for a long time that just were not moving in the same direction based on who I wanted to be.
Yeah. That evolution, growth is beautiful. And it also can come with grief of the things that we thought would be and that, yeah, I love how you put it, are no longer serving you and where you're trying to go. I'm curious to know, I guess, even in early parenthood in particular, some of the things that you thought would be, but then maybe were not, and how you navigated that. I can say for myself, and I think Annie would agree, like, it was a struggle to navigate that, especially with our first children. And I'm just curious what your journey, especially when your oldest was just born.
I think for me, I saw myself as just kind of folding my daughter into the life that I had already created. And although I did that in ways, and I would, at the time I, you know, had my own office and I would bring her to the office sometimes, of course, it wasn't as easy as I thought that it would be. And also, you know, there's the struggle of being a working mom, and I had the blessing of having my parents to help watch her when the days I did decide to go into the office was just a couple of days a week. But then there's still that guilt of having to get up and leave early and having to come home and then having to do that. And there were so many layers to it. But I think for me, it was that constant balance of, look, I had to provide for her. So I had to continue to work. But in the same sense, it was really hard to find that balance of being able to be present for her, but also then be present in all the other areas of my life. Because also the thing is, I mean, you're just tired. I mean, I just would be tired, like having meetings and trying to find the right words, you know? And I feel like
you get depleted either way, right? Whether you are with your kids all the time or at work all the time. You're depleted.
Yes. Yeah. Because there's only so much of you to go around. And I think something that's been the biggest lesson that I learned is that you can't be everything to everyone. You just can't. And I was trying. That's what I was trying to do in the beginning. And that's when I kind of had to, I guess I proved myself wrong, which was that you couldn't, because I was trying to be super mom, super woman at the office, doing it all at the same time. And finally, I had to kind of throw my hands up and be like, wait a minute, that's not going to be the way to move forward. And that's kind of part of how I went on to adopt what's my motto today, which is that you can have it all, just not all at the same time. And to stop trying to be everything at all times and just focus on being totally present on wherever I was at that given time.
So what would you say, like, today as a mom, I think you have a 6 and a 4-year-old, correct?
Three.
I have a 6 and a 4-year-old, so I always just assume. What would you say are the things that you're still navigating on the journey of parenthood that you find challenging and want to continue to work on?
I think it's forever getting to know my kids and letting them be who they are. I will say I have figured out how to kind of, again, like, have it all, but not all at the same time. And so that for me means having very strict boundaries. But I think I'm forever trying to learn how to be the best parent for my kids as they evolve. Because I think that's the thing, like how I was able to parent them, you know, as babies is very different than now, because now they have their own personalities. Now they have homework. I mean, there's all these different layers. So I think for me, what I'm trying to constantly evolve with is how to evolve as a parent, because I believe we should be forever learners in all areas of life. And I think that what happens is, think about how many books people will read about becoming a new parent. And they'll read blogs or they'll follow certain people on social media. But, you know, I don't know if everyone continues to do that. And so for me, it's constantly trying to lean in and learn more about my kids and how to empower them to be who they're supposed to be, as opposed to who I want them to be in this world.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, right? When we can, I say this with clients a lot, when we can get curious about our children without judgment, ideally, but we're human, sometimes there's judgment. But when we can get curious and really connect and be present with them, our ability to be the parent they need will much more likely match up with the parent that we want to be, right? Okay. We can have our ideas, but if we don't take some time, especially as they grow, and it's amazing how quickly they turn into their little people after infancy. If we don't take that time, we actually miss a great opportunity to, like, really shoot for the moon together with our kids as they grow. So yeah. And I think I was making me think of, you know, we had an opportunity to collaborate on Healing Home's beautiful postpartum planning course, and how the idea behind that kind of preparation for parenthood, it's not a one and done. Just like that first baby book is not a one and done. You prepare, and then inevitably your kid or you or life transitions, and then you go back to the drawing board and say, like, what is working for us? What isn't? And what aligns with our values? Who do I need to bring into my village? Or, as you said, like, who no longer serves me and my village in the way that I really need them to?
Yeah. And I think that's what's so great about your guys' work and about the course, is it's about tools, you know, and tools that can evolve with you. Because I think that's the thing too, is we evolve, our kids evolve, all these different things happen, you know, life happens. We have to figure out how to continue on as life is happening. And I think that's what's most important. That's what, you know, what I love that you guys talk about is kind of having that toolkit and what's in it or who's in it, you know, and who's a part of it and who can be a part of it. And even, you know, with the services and even with the course that you guys offer, I think also sometimes we think about tools or resources or the village as just what's in front of us. And we feel like we're obligated to engage in what's right in front of us or family members because they're offering. It doesn't have to be that. It can be buying a course. It can be working with therapists. It can be whatever it is that you decide to go off and do. But I also think it's really, really important that we take the pressure off ourselves and we stop feeling like we're going to be better off or we're going to be a better mom if we're struggling and we're trying to do it all and make it look good at the same time. Like, sorry, but you're not going to get a medal for that. And you're also not going to get to the end of your life and someone be like, oh my gosh, it's amazing that you struggled. Because at some point in time, our kids are going to leave us and they're going to move on with their lives. And once again, you're not going to get a certificate or anything is going to show up on your doorstep that is like, you did such a great job and you laid your entire life on the line and lost yourself in the process, but your kids are great. So now go on with the rest of your life.
So how, Lauren, how do you do it all with quotation marks without struggling? And I'm sure you do struggle sometimes, but what do you do to pick yourself back up from those struggles and reflect on what you just went through and how you could do it better next time? And when I say better, how you can serve yourself better.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, I used to, like I said, try really hard to do it all. My new way of looking at it, I don't even think that way. So I don't even think about how am I doing it all. I get that question a lot, but what has really helped me, because what'll happen is, it's almost like the same time every day. So we've gotten home, I've finished dinner, I'm kind of like cleaning up the kitchen and we're about to start the bedtime routine. And my mind will go to, oh my gosh, like, how are you doing this? How are you doing this by yourself? Like now you gotta move into bedtime routine. And what I've started to do is stop that really like that train of thoughts and go back to and just say, you know what? It's not even about like, how am I doing it? It's about, this is just my life. Like, this is the life that I've created. And I think also for me, I have very, very strict boundaries and also even just certain ways that I run my household that make things feel easier and just like in flow. Like, that's always my goal, is just to like be in flow with what I have going on. And I think also for me, it's managing myself and my emotions, because nothing is ever going to go right, like ever, whether it's, you know, running late for school or, you know, they spill or break something or something happens.
Well, like just like today,
you're a snowstorm to come today.
I didn't even know there was supposed to be a snowstorm today. I walked outside and I was like, I have to change my shoes right now.
There's always going to be something. And I think for me, it's more about like, okay, it just is what it is. Like, I'm part of this. I go to this 5:30 a.m. call every single morning. And it's kind of this guy's this amazing mindset coach. And one of the biggest things he always talks about is it just is what it is. So I think what happens sometimes is we make things bigger than they have to be. And then we don't take responsibility for it. So for me, it's just like, it is what it is. My kid is throwing a tantrum. I think more of like, okay, what could be the cause? Instead of like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? It's like, oh, you know what? He did go to sleep an hour later last night. Or, oh, you know, he did eat that cookie today. So there's like a little extra sugar. Like, I treat my life the same way that I treat my work. Like, I look at it strategically and I try to figure things out and use every single thing as a learning lesson so that I just get better the next time. Like, that's really what it is. And I think just going with that and giving myself also a lot of grace, like, that's it too. I will tell people all the time, I don't want to have it perfect. I don't try to have it perfect. I will never say that I do. And I will always be open and vulnerable to tell people what's really going on behind the scenes, because I think that's also what we all want. We all want that connection.
Yeah, that's just like such a powerful theme, right? To give yourself compassion, to give yourself grace. And what I heard also is that that previous version of yourself that was very segmented, like, oh, this is Lauren at work, this is Lauren at home, like that. Now you have, or you are on the continuing to integrate and allows you to be authentic. Like when you're saying, I apply the same me to parenting that I do to my work, it's actually easier, right? Because then you find out the systems that work in life for you in general in life, versus trying to kind of shape shift into different roles.
Totally.
Yeah, and I would have to say, like, one of the number one things that I help guide my advice that I give to help guide my clients through tantrums, like you mentioned tantrums and how you view it, like, oh, he might not have slept well the night before, he's hungry, like kind of seeing what's under the iceberg, right? And I always say, you are not going to change how they act. They are toddlers, they are children. The number one thing you can do is work on yourself to figure out how you're going to react. Because once you figure out a reaction that works for you and keeps you in a calm and safe place, then the whole family is going to react to the situation better. And so I think, Lauren, that takes a lot of work. I know you're a huge journaler and you do a lot of self-reflection, and it takes a lot of work to get to that place. Would you have any tips to moms out there? Like, what is like your like go-to coping mechanisms when you're feeling really stressed out with your kids, especially after a long day of work?
I think for me, it starts, I try to put things in place and have routines that kind of set me up to be at a better place when those things do happen. And so for me, it's, and here's the thing too, I want to be very clear. I think a lot of times people will hear what I'm about to say and automatically go to like, oh, well, she's just disciplined, or like, she's just motivated. And like, I also want to be very clear that I wasn't always this way. Like I choose to be the way that I am. And, you know, for me, it's, I get up and I'm on this call every morning with these certain people from 5:30 to 6:30 AM. And then I meditate. And, you know, then I have some time to like get things ready before my kids get up. I have to have at least an hour to myself before my kids get up in the morning. I'm not kidding. I'm a completely different person. Like, I just have to. So I have to do it for myself. I have to do it for them. I also run. I started running. I run, it's about a mile and a half every morning. But I do it outside. I do it at the water. And again, after I drop my daughter off. And that's another thing too, to set me up for the rest of the day, because one, I've already got my workout done. Two, it allows me to clear my mind. But then three, I use the simplest things. If my kids are freaking out and all this is happening, and sometimes they will hold me accountable to this, you can take a couple deep breaths. Like, that's it. Sometimes I will literally tell them, I will say, guys, I need a minute, okay? I need a minute. I need to walk. And I'll tell them, I need to walk away from this situation. I will be right back, okay? You know, I make sure that they're safe, whatever. Turn on the TV, whatever you have to do.
Modeling for them, really.
Yes.
That's okay to do.
Yeah. Remove myself from the situation and literally just close my eyes. It's simple, like close my eyes, you know, maybe put my hand on my heart and take a couple deep breaths, which I've also taught them. And what's interesting now is my son does it a lot. I'll say something and he'll be like, one day, it happened the other day, I said something and I was like, okay, we need to calm down. And he was like, you need to calm down. I said, you know what? You're right. I do need to calm down. Like, what should I do? And he was like, you know what, mommy? Should take a couple deep breaths. And I was like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to do that. Maybe we should do it together. But honestly, I love that, because I'm like, there's an accountability factor with us. But I keep it simple, because the reality is, yes, I want to get that done during the day. But when they're in the middle or something's happening, like, I can't do that. I also have buffers where, like, I love salt baths. And so sometimes, for example, if it's the end of the night, I'll let them take their bath and we'll do it early. And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to set you guys up. You can lay down, you know, you can lay down in bed. You can watch this show and I'm going to take a bath. And it may be like, and I'll tell them like, hey, 15, 20 minutes. And sometimes they come in and they want to just sit there and be close to me. And it's like, fine. Like, it's fine. They know like the calming music is going, the whole thing, but it's just knowing like, and asking, I think we also have to ask ourselves, like, what do I need in this moment? And then lean into it. And I think again, I mean, look, I'm a single mom to two kids, an executive, and then I have my own business, and I'm an advisor and a mentor. I have a lot of things, but my non-negotiable is myself. And I think you have to just decide and choose. And you guys do such a great job of this as well. Like, we've talked about this a lot, and I know you tell your clients the same thing, but nothing in this world, nothing that I have is going to be okay if I'm not okay.
Yeah, absolutely. What a beautiful, I think, note to end on in that, right? We talk about this all the time, that self-sacrifice is not actually a virtue. When you show up for yourself and really care for yourself, make space. And sometimes that's while you're also, as you're sharing, like making space for your kiddos. But when you do that, everyone gets a better version of yourself, to include you, and you're worthy of being that best version of yourself.
Yeah, I want to know what salt you put in your salt bath.
Just Epsom salt. That's it. And listen, when it's been a rough day, you pour the whole bag in. The whole bag of Epsom salt.
Dumping it out.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Your kids know you mean business when the whole bag comes out.
Yeah. Put on 528 hertz, you know, some sound healing. Like, you're good.
Yeah. Lauren, thank you so, so much for being with us and sharing some of your life, your story with us, and just being also a member of our village. We feel very... we feel really lucky to have you, as well as so appreciative of you sharing your wisdom and experiences with our listeners.
Yeah, I'm sure many women will listen to this and take away a lot of the advice you gave and try to apply it to their own lives. And that really is the goal of this podcast, is that every working mom does it differently, but maybe motivating you to, by listening to this, to change something in your life, to bring the focus back to you in order to be well for your family. So I think you gave such good tips today, and I really appreciate that.
Amazing. Thank you guys. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.